things are possible now that you're here.
Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious and loving Father, we come to you humbly. We come to you reverently, O God, in obedience to thy word, to assemble together, seeing that the days grow closer to the end. And Father, we ask you to be with us tonight. Help us, O God, to be prepared for the going home. We want to be those among that number, O God, that's rapture ready. And Father, we ask that you would, in your way, O God, make us ready. For the Bible tells us that you which began a good work in us shall perform it. And you which began a good work shall complete it. So we're counting on thee, O God, by the washing of thy word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Tonight we're going to continue in our study of Brother Branham's sermon's token. We're going to begin to reading at paragraph 62, where Brother Branham said, Israel was commanded to stay under the blood until marching orders come. Don't go out from under it. When once under the token, they were sealed in there. Don't leave that. They stayed right there until the midnight struck and the trumpets blow. And when the trumpets blow, the old ram's horn begin to blow. Each one marched out with his provision, going to the promised land. Now, it's interesting because he's talking about the token. He's talking about the departure from Israel to the promised land. And he's talking about they had to wait for the trumpet to blow. We know the last trump, the Bible says, Paul tells us the last trump will blow. And of course, we're looking at the Feast of Trumpets coming up in about a month. And the Feast of Trumpets is, of course, the last trump for the Jews in their year. Well, I believe God's turning to the Jews. I believe that the Gentiles are finished. Mm-hmm. Brother Branham said in 1956, there's no more hope for this nation. What you see in this nation is in a total collapse. Everything is spiraling down. It's not just this nation, but the nations of the world. They say China has $28 trillion in debt. We've got 18. So they're in worse shape than we are, brothers. Don't let them fool you. They might devalue their dollars. That's only to sell more product, hopefully. The problem is when they do that, they have to pay more money for the raw materials to get what they're doing. So it's all boiling down. It's all coming to a head, and we're watching it unfold. So it says, and when the trumpet blows, the old ram's horn begins to blow, each one marched out with his provisions, going to the promised land. So does a man or woman who is filled with the Holy Ghost. That's our provision. He is sealed away and secured from all harm and danger. You hear that? I'm going to write that in your Bible. His whole life displays what he is. That's another thing to think about. Wherever he walks, whatever business he does, whoever he talks to, or talks with, when he comes in contact with women, when he comes in contact with associates, when he comes in contact with anything, that token's laying there. Amen. And when he comes to death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. That token lays there. When it comes to the resurrection, he will be there, for God will raise him up to the last days. Jesus said so. When I see the blood, the token, I'll pass over you. Get the token. You got the token. It's a finished work. Now notice, brother, I tell this, when a man has a token and it is applied, I would like to add here that that is a key, not just having it, but applying it. He continues, he says, his whole life displays what he is. His whole life displays what he is. The one who applies a token, wherever he walks, whatever business he does, whatever he talks with, when he comes in contact with women, when he comes in contact with associates, when he comes in contact with and everything, that token's laying there. In other words, they're not going to see you, they're going to see the token. They're going to see Christ in you, the hope of glory. In other words, the token is on display because it is his life, Christ's life, his nature, his attributes and characteristics of Christ living in the person. Do you realize what he's talking here is John 14:12? That's the display. You can have the Holy Ghost, but unless the Holy Ghost is displayed, how do you display it? In the way you talk, the way you act, the way you work. From a sermon, we would see Jesus. Brother Branham tells us in John 14:12. He tells us that John 14:12 is about the very life that was in Christ living itself out in you. He says, but now, while he's here, working with his church in the form of the Spirit, then if, that's a big question, if his Spirit is with us, He will act just exactly like he acted when he was here on earth. It'll make you act the same way. Because it's not your spirit anymore. It's his spirit in you. Christ's spirit in you. The things that I do, ye that believe on me, St. John 14:12, the works that I do shall ye do also. See, we will do the same works, think the same thoughts, live the same type of a life. If the spirit of God is in you, it makes you live like Christ, Christ's life. Then you become a written epistle, read of all men, Christ in you, reflecting his light out of you as God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, and reflecting God from his own body. No man has seen God at any time, but the only begotten of the Father has declared him. God was in Christ. And what Christ's attitude was God's attitude. So what are you reflecting? What attitude are you reflecting? Yours or God's? See? Because the two work together, the spirit and the flesh united together. Again from the sermon, "It is I, be not afraid," Brother Brown said. And if his same life is in us, then we will do the works that he did. Or it isn't the same spirit. Now, he had the spirit without measure, like all the water out there in the sea. That was what was in him. But in us is just a spoonful out of it. We got it by measure. But remember, the same chemicals that's in the whole sea is in the spoon. Not as much of it, but the same kind. Amen. See, that's right. That's the reason he said, "He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also." What we're looking at tonight is the witness of the Spirit, which is the life. All right? Now, was Jesus prophesying that only one man would live a life worthy of the gospel and live like he lived and talk like he talked and what he did? I don't think so. In Brother Bram's sermon, Spiritual Amnesia, he said, you can't forget it and be a Christian. You must be identified with it. You must be identified with St. John, the 14th chapter, 12th verse. "He that believeth with me, the works that I do shall he do also." Don't forget it. If you do, then you've got spiritual amnesia. You've forgotten who you are. You've forgotten what your testimony means. Now notice it said you must be identified with it or you have spiritual amnesia. And the word identified means to cause to be. It means to become identical. It means to conceive as united in spirit, outlook, or principle. It means to be or to become the same. So you must become John 14:12. Therefore, it means more than just to agree with John 14:12. It means that you must become John 14:12 in your own life. Now, in the book of Acts, in the Church Age book, chapter 2, the Patmos Vision, Brother Bram said, and I guess we would have to include Brother Vail also in this, seeing that he helped Brother Branham put his book and the doctrine into the book. Anyway, he said, that's the way the church is. The vine has been split and the limbs have been grafted in. They have grafted in Baptist limbs, Methodist limbs, Presbyterian limbs, Pentecostal limbs, and those limbs are bearing Baptist, Methodist, Pentecostal, and Presbyterian fruit, denominational seeds from which they produce their fruit. But if the vine ever brings forth another branch of itself, that branch will be exactly like the vine itself. Now remember, Jesus said, "I am the vine, and you are the branches." Now, it will be the same kind of a branch that brought forth at Pentecost. I will speak in tongues. It will speak in tongues and prophesy and have the power and signs of the resurrected Christ in it. Why? Because it's thriving on the natural resources of the vine itself. In other words, his spirit, his life, his nature. Why? Because it's thriving on the natural resources of the vine itself. You see, it wasn't grafted into the vine. It was born in the vine. So the question you have to ask yourself, have I been grafted into this message or have I been born in this message? When those other branches were grafted in, all they could do was bear their own fruit, for they were not born of that vine. They don't know about that original life and original fruit. They cannot know, for they were not born of it. But if they had been born of it, that same life that was in the original stem, Jesus, would have come through them, plural, and manifested through them, plural, John 14:12. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth in me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father." Oh my, my. This is not only Brother Branham speaking here, but it's also Brother Vail echoing what Brother Branham said, because he wrote the book based on what Brother Branham said. And notice they're telling us here that those who are born into the vine will manifest John 14:12. You can't get around that. And you can't get around that Brother Bell is teaching this, the same thing in this book, because he authored it for Brother Branham. Now notice this promise of John 14:12 that Brother Branham spoke of so often is also echoed by Brother Bell in the Church Age book, and uses the word "them" plural, and this is speaking about them plural doing the works of Christ. And they also tell us that this will only be those who are born from within the vine and not those who have been grafted into the vine. Like the denominational, organizational-minded people who call themselves Christians. Or those people with a Baptist methodology or a Pentecostal mindset, and they come into the message and they partake of the blessings of the message, but they're still Baptist or Pentecostal in their thinking. Now, these words also speak volumes as to why some cannot understand how that John 14:12 is for all believers. Because these words tell us that only those who are truly born into the vine can see it, and because they see it, they will have the same works performed through them as they are the only ones who have the same life of Jesus, who is the original vine. Again, in the Church Age book, chapter 1, Introduction to the Revelation of Jesus Christ, page 16, Brother Branham, along with Brother Bell, says, "Now remember this, Christ in the true church is a continuation of the book of Acts. But the book of Revelation shows how that the Antichrist spirit will come into the church and defile it, and making it lukewarm, formal, and powerless. It exposes Satan, revealing his works, attempted destruction of God's people, and the discrediting of God's word, right down to the time he is cast into the lake of fire. He fights that. He cannot stand it. He knows that if the people get the true revelation of the true church and what she is, what she stands for, and that she can do the greater works, she will be an invincible army. If they get a true revelation of the two spirits within the framework of the Christian church, and by God's Spirit discern and withstand the Antichrist spirit, Satan will be powerless before her. He will be as definitely thwarted today as when Christ withstood his effort to gain power over him in the desert. Yes, Satan hates revelation, but we love it. With true revelation in our lives, the gates of hell cannot prevail against us, but we will prevail over them." Again, we see this cooperation in doctrine between Brother Brand and Brother Vail that shows when the true revelation comes into the church, she will understand that she can do the greater works. So do we have the true revelation? I think we're getting there. I did not write these words. Brother Vail penned them for Brother Branham, but I believe this and teach it just as it was spoken and as I read it. Now, I'd like to read just one more quote from the Church Age book, because as I mentioned, Brother Branham said it, Brother Vail echoed it and put it into writing for us. From the Church Age book, chapter 1, Introduction to the Revelation of Jesus Christ, paragraph 76, he said, "May God begin by his Spirit to give us continuous, life-giving, and prevailing revelation. Oh, if the church could only get a fresh revelation and become by it the living word manifested, we would do the greater works and glorify God our Father in heaven." So it all depends on a life-giving revelation. And when we receive that life-giving revelation, in other words, this word becomes alive to us, then we begin to see the works. Now, from letting off the pressure, Brother Branham said, Jesus said in John 14, "I am the vine, you are the branches. And the first branch that came forth out of that vine, they wrote a book of Acts behind it." That's right. And today we have denominations living in the name of Christianity, but only bearing denominational fruit. That's right. But if the vine ever puts forth another branch, you'll write a book of Acts behind it, because it'll bear the original life. If the Spirit of Christ is in the church, well, it'll do the works of Christ. Jesus said so. Well, then the question is the Spirit of Christ in the church today or not? If the Spirit of Christ is in the church, then we have to ask the question, where is it? All right. Now look, John 14:12 is a life-giving revelation. It shows us that when you have received the token and you apply it, the very same life-giving works that Jesus did, you will also do, because you can't help it. You know why? Because it's the nature of his Spirit in you that does those works. And if you claim to have the same Spirit in you, then you will have to do the same things that he did in the flesh, because it's the nature of the Spirit. You can't get around that. From a sermon identification, Brother Branham said, we've got to take the entire full gospel. We must, and now being that we have identified ourselves as full gospel people, let's mold our character. We're invited to be molded in his image, that we might reflect his presence, and the works that I do shall you do also, the life that I live, so shall you. We're invited by God to take him as an example and let our character be molded like his. What a thing. My. Then when we let his character be in us, then we have become sons by having the mind of Christ, mind, which is the character. Your mind makes your character. Let the mind, Paul said, of Christ this mind that was in Christ be in you. Let the mind of Christ be in you. It molds the character of a son of God. So we're looking at then the witness of the Spirit, which is the very life that was in Christ living itself out in you. Now from adoption or placing, Brother Ramsey, the church has got to be perfectly like Christ until Christ and the church can unite together the same Spirit. And if the Spirit of Christ is in you, it makes you live the life of Christ, act the life of Christ, do the works of Christ. He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. Jesus said that. Notice again, he says, the church has got to be perfectly like Christ until Christ and the church can unite together. Now, I didn't have time tonight to preach all 21 pages of this sermon. So what I did is broke this into two pieces. And on Sunday, we're going to look more into this because we know there's got to be a perfect uniting. The head has got to unite with the body, and it's got to be such a perfect union that if it's not, there won't be a rapture. Or at least those that aren't, you know, in that perfect union won't be raptured. And we're going to show you Sunday, by God's grace, how the John 14:12 is so important, because if it's not, if the works of Christ are not reflecting in you, it means the life of Christ isn't there. And Brother Brown said, he said, until we come to where we have the life of Christ and the works of Christ, he said, we're not ready for the rapture. But when we see those both come together, he said, then we're ready. You see how close we are. Notice again in the next quote, Brother Branham, from Brother Branham, that he identifies the works of Christ as the life of Christ. Now, this is what we're doing tonight, is I'm just trying to hit nothing but showing you that the works of Christ is the life of Christ. The little things that he did doesn't really matter, the particulars. The fact is that the life produced those things. The life produces giving. The life produces dying. The life produces his laying hands on the sick to be healed. The life produced, because it was the life, the nature. It produced all those things. Those are just fruits. You see, the works of Christ are just fruits. But they are an expression of the life. So if the life is there, then it'll produce the works of Christ. Now, from God's gift, always find their place, Brother Anson. Notice now, we find that if he identified the works that he did, identified that he was deity, showed that he was. For he said, if I do not the works of my Father, then don't believe me. And could not the Christian say so today? If I do not the works of my Savior, believe me not. See, as the Father sent me, so send I you. And if you did the works, creation works of the Father that sent him, then it's creation. The Christ, the Creator, that sends us, does the works of Christ, the Creator. Now, did not the Christ, the Creator, send Brother Bosworth? Then what happened? Eardrums that were not there were created. Christ, the Creator, sent William Branham. Eyeballs that were not in the child's eyes suddenly appeared. You understand, if God sends you, that creative spirit is in you. Brother Brown said, you have enough power, you have enough deity in you, if you've been born again, to create worlds and go live on them. Well, then who's afraid of a Planet X or of a meteor shower or of a government that's gone corrupt? We've got deity laying in us, living in us. As the Father sent me, so send I you. And if I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. Then the Christian today has got to do the life of that Christ did, or we have a right to say it's not so. You know, someone come up to you and say, "Well, you know, brother, do you see Christ in me?" And I said, "I'm sorry, brother, I don't." Well, that's what everybody says. I said, that means you need to be born again. If you don't see the life of Christ in the individual, it's because the life of Christ isn't there. You can't have the life of Christ and hide it under a bushel basket. Either you've got it or you don't. If you've got it, it's going to manifest. All life will manifest when the light hits it. In a sermon, The Countdown, he said, his first decision is a perfect decision and has to ever remain the same, and we know it, Father. Now, he said, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. He cannot change that decision. He said, these signs shall follow them that believe. And remember, he and he that believeth and them, it's the same Greek word. It means whosoever. These signs shall follow whosoever that believes. If the life of Christ be in you, if the mind of Christ, then we're concerned and do. No, then we're concerned and we do the things of Christ. people don't do because they're not concerned. He said the signs that he done will follow every believer that believes in him. Then it goes to reason that if the life of Christ is in you, then you will look for every reason. If the life of Christ is not in you, because he's talking about, if the life of Christ is in you, you're going to be concerned, you're going to do. Well, it goes to reason then, if the life of Christ is not in you, you're going to look for every reason under heaven, under the sun, to justify why you don't see the works of Christ in you. Like some would say, well, we don't need to do any works. Brother Bram did, and we're riding on that. They do not understand that the works are not what you do, but what His Spirit in you does. It's not about you. It's about whether you have been born again or whether you have not been born again. If His Spirit is living in you, then it must act the same as it did in Him, or it's not the same Spirit, and it's not the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's not a hypocrite. He's not going to act in you one way and act in you a different way. From a sermon about Jesus, Brother Branham said, now look, when Jesus left the earth, here's what he said. These things that I do shall you do also. Even more than this shall you do. Greater, which really is more. He couldn't do any greater, but you could do more of it. More than this shall you do, for I go to my Father. He said, a little while in the world, now that's the unbeliever, they will see me no more. Now you ever ask yourself why the unbeliever won't see him? Because he's not in them. That'll be finished for the world when I leave here in this physical form. I'll be gone. And that's all they'll ever see of me. But yet ye shall see me. Now watch. Watch what he promised. He said, I'll be with you, even in you, to the end of the world. Notice he's telling us the reason that we will be able to see him is because he's in us. And if you have never seen Christ working in you yet, I invite you to this altar tonight to die to yourself and let Him come in and take over your life, and you'll see Him. Now, let's continue with the next paragraph, 65. Now, who is the ye and who is the unbeliever? There's unbelievers in every generation, and there's ye's in every generation. Yet ye shall see me. He promised to return into His church and do the same things that He did when He was here on earth. And the Bible said that He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And hasn't He done all things well this week? Has He? Notice He's not saying, haven't I? Hasn't He done all things well this week? Hasn't He? The blind seen? The cripple walked? The spastic raised up? Sin has been rebuked? The visions has come? Everything that's been said has been perfect. Just exactly. Is that right? Sinners has been saved. People believe the Holy Spirit, been born again, bore witness of the Spirit. Signs and wonders has happened everywhere. What is it? It's Jesus Christ, the Son of God, not with just Brother Branham, but with His church everywhere. You're just as much into it, or more into it than I am. This just happens to be a gift. That don't mean it makes me any more than it makes you. Probably not as much, see? If the resurrection will come tonight, you old-timers that's fought to win the prize and sail through bloody seas would go before me, and you would deserve to go. I'm just followed the road that you paved, that's all. It's just a gift. God sent it, placed it. I had nothing to do with it coming. I was born that way, and it's just a gift to glorify Jesus Christ, or not glorify, but to magnify Him, to bring Him out, to let the people see that He's here. God does that through the preaching of the Word, through signs and wonders. He's the same Lord Jesus. Do you believe it? So what's Brother Brown saying? He's saying, look, these things that you're seeing, it's Him, it's not me. Now notice William Brown said, not just with Brother Brandon, but with His church everywhere. You're just as much into it and more into it than I am. From five identifications of the true church of the living God, Brother Brown said, John 14:12, he gives a teaching what the church should do. John 14, chapter 12, verse, we'll see what that says, John 14:12. So we read it, make it official. All right, John 14 and the 12th verse. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. That's the message of the church. Jesus Christ is saying yesterday, today, and forever, living in the church, King of the church, raised from the dead, saying yesterday and forever, today and forever, performing the same works, doing the same things that Jesus did. That's the message of the church. If the church isn't teaching that, it's teaching some false theology. That's what Jesus commanded them to preach. So what is the message? says right there. That's what the message is. Now, let me emphasize again, he said, if the church isn't teaching that, it's teaching some false theology. From letting off the pressure, he said, if I told you that I had the spirit of John Dillinger, you'd expect me to have guns and be an outlaw. If I told you the spirit of Antichrist, if I told you the spirit of an artist was in me, you'd expect me to paint some picture. If I told you the spirit of some great soldier, you'd expect me to know all the arms and everything, because his spirit is in me. If I tell you the spirit of Christ is in me, then I should do the works of Christ, live the kind of life that he lived, a sacrificed life for the people. That is right. John 14:12 concerns those who are born again only, filled with the Spirit, and thus have the very same nature that was in Christ and is in them. And if the very same nature is in them that was in Christ, then it will produce the very same actions and the very same life that Christ did in the believer. It is about fulfilling Genesis 1:11, every seed bearing after its kind. Therefore, in St. John 14:12, it speaks of the believers who will manifest the same life, the same nature, the same character, the same fruits, and therefore the same works that Jesus did, because that is what the law of reproduction in Genesis 1:11 is all about. Didn't Jesus tell us, by their fruits you shall know them? Otherwise, the life and the nature is not the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the law of life, as spoken of in Genesis 1:11, means absolutely nothing. Therefore, the determination of who that individual is depends entirely upon the supporting evidence, which in this verse is either the works or the greater works. Again, in his sermon, Jesus Christ is saying, Brother Bram said, well, where he defines these three categories is defining the works of Christ. He says, flesh cannot do those things. What is it? The vine, the branches, the same life that was in the vine comes through his branches. He feeds the branches through his vine. That's how he declares himself to be the same yesterday, today, and forever. He said, I'm the vine, the Holy Spirit now, Christ in spirit form in you, notice, energizing you with the same spirit to believe God. And he's everything that he's everything that he does. He manifests himself just like he did in the Bible times. The works that I do shall you also. A little while and the world won't see me no more. How many knows that he said that? That's the unbeliever. Yet ye shall see me, the believer, for I is a personal pronoun, I'll be with you, even in you, to the end of the world. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. The works that I do shall you do also. Now the word there in the King James says, greater works than this shall you do. But if you run that back to the Greek lexicon, you'll find out that it doesn't mean greater. It means more of. You couldn't do no greater. He stopped nature. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He done things. Well, there could be no more death. In other words, you can say, well, okay, he healed the sick. Listen, he healed leprosy, he healed blind, he healed the lame, he healed the deaf, he raised the dead. That's the form of healing. It's the greatest form of healing. So, you know, there's many avenues to go with these things. He stopped nature, all right? He spoke through a storm, the storm stopped. He walked on water. He just completely obliterated the natural causes or the natural laws by walking on water. You know, and I don't know how he did it, but I know that he did it. And I know Peter did it too. Peter was born sin shaped iniquity, come forth to the world speaking life. And he wasn't even born again at the time. Think about that. Now, Brother Bram said, in spoken words, original seed, he said, if Son of God's seed is in us, we will produce Son of God life. For Brother Bram said, in the same sermon, he said, Jesus was the example seed, or the pattern seed. And since he was the original seed, which means there's other seeds after it, and the law of reproduction says every seed must come forth after its kind, or life in the seed, then if Son of God's seed produced an obedient son in the original seed, it will also produce obedient sons in other seeds that came forth from the original seed, or the law of reproduction in Genesis 1:11 means absolutely nothing. From the spoken words, original seed, paragraph 89, Brother Branham said, the works that Jesus did, if, and that if is a big question, if a man has the seed of God in him, with the Spirit of God watering that seed, the same works that was manifested in Jesus, him being the original seed of God, his death brings you back to the original seed of God, and if the same Spirit that was within him is in you, then the same works will be manifested. Now, you don't believe that? All right, let's turn over to our Bibles in St. John, the 14th chapter, 14:12. You say, well, I'm a believer, Brother Branham. I sure am a believer. All right, I'm going to see if Jesus would call you one. See if the Word of God calls you one. Verily, verily, that means absolutely, absolutely, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. Then the works will be manifested in him are the same. For it is the same seed word of God. God's Son was his example seed. And what his life was, when the Spirit poured upon him after his baptism, and the Holy Ghost come upon him, the very life that he produced with that same watering Spirit of the Holy Ghost will bring forth the same kind of a life, doing the same thing that he did, if it's the same seed. Son of God's seed will bring forth a Son of God seed. There's no getting around it, brother, sister. If you got the Holy Ghost, you got Christ in you, the hope of glory. If you have the Holy Ghost, you have the same nature. You're going to have the same life. You're going to do the same thing. You're going to talk the same way, live the same life. From the darkest hour, in the darkest hour, Jesus comes, Brother Brown said, now God gave him the Spirit without measure, but he gives it to you and I by measure. He measured me out a spoonful. But when he measured it out to his Son, he measured the whole ocean. See what I mean? But notice the same chemicals that's in the spoon is in the whole ocean, and all the chemicals in the ocean is in the measure of them is in the spoon. It's the same kind. See, it'll do the same thing. It'll do the same works. It'll produce the same life. Don't you believe that? That's what makes us Christians. From New Ministry. When he was here on earth, he told Peter on the revelation of the word, he said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. Isn't that right? All right. When he now, before he left, in Mark 16, he said, these signs shall follow them that believe. Did he say it? In my name they shall cast out devils, speak with new tongues, take up serpents, drink deadly things. He also said, the works that I do shall you do also. Is that right? That's the signs that's to follow his church. It's not a denomination. It's an ordained of God, Holy Ghost-filled, heaven-born church that comes out of the denomination, a real believing bunch of people. Don't you see what the greater thing is? That's the greatest thing that could ever happen was to impart eternal life to the people. What is eternal life? The life that he lived. The life that was in him, impart that to others. Can a man do that? A son of God can. There's the greater works. How's it done? You lay hands on the person, they receive the Holy Ghost. That's imparting life. From that day on Calvary. Now watch. Jesus said, watch how he stated it. The works that I do. He's doing them right now. The works that I'm doing right now, healing the sick, raising the dead, opening the eyes of the blind, these works shall you also do. You'll do these if you believe in me. You'll do these works, and then a greater than this shall you do, for I go to my Father. Now notice he speaks of works and then the greater works, making a distinction between the two. He again says, in a little while, and the world won't see me no more, but you'll see me. I'll be with you even in you to the end of the world. I will not leave you comfortless. I'll pray the Father, and he'll send you another Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the world cannot receive. Yet you can receive him. Now notice, the greater works was to have the power in the church. Not only to heal the sick by prayer, cast out devils by prayer, but to impart eternal life to the believers. The Holy Ghost was coming and given into the hands of the church to impart life. Oh, that's what Calvary meant. It took stooped, degraded men and women and lifted them into places to be sons and daughters of God, to heal the sick and to impart eternal life by giving the Holy Ghost to obedient believers. Men who were once unbelievers, he made believers and imparted spiritual eternal life. How much greater is it to say to this sick woman laying here, I can pray a prayer of faith and she'll be healed? Well, that's a great thing. That's what he was doing then. But he said, greater than this shall you do. I'm going to give you power, not only to raise him up for a while, but to give him eternal life, which will be eternal forever. Poor, blind, wretched people, how do you miss that? Again, from Queen of Sheba, Brother Brown said, the Bible said that no man can call Jesus the Christ only by the Holy Ghost. If you've never received the Holy Ghost, you don't know that he's the Christ yet. Remember that. You're only walking towards that light. You can say, well, my pastor said so. Well, that's true. My Bible says so. Well, that's true. My mother said so. Well, that's true. The church believes it's the Holy Ghost. That's true. But what about you? As an individual, you don't know until you've received it. And when you receive the Holy Ghost, then you are a witness that he's alive forevermore. Now, the Holy Ghost is within you. Now, And then you watch him as he works. Notice, you don't see him and you don't watch him as he works until he's in you. And now you're watching him in you. Now you know he's the Christ. Now you know he's the anointer because he's anointed you. Notice, you can't watch him unless you watch him in you. The only one who is able to watch him and thus see him in action are those who have him inside of them. And when the Holy Ghost goes into action, you see it because you are involved in that action. You are involved in what he's doing. How many times have you seen something take place and you say, I know it wasn't me. I know there's no way that I could have done that. It had to be God. Amen? Brother Brown continues. If the life of Christ is in you, it will produce his life in you. Now notice then, he tells us what the life in you will produce. He said, the works that I do shall you do also. The same works. Because it's the same life. If the life in a watermelon vine produces a watermelon, well, the next branch that comes out, it'll produce another watermelon. Every time it'll be a watermelon. And if the church is really anchored in Christ, every church will write a book of Acts behind it. Every church. That's exactly right, because the first one wrote a book of Acts behind it, so there we are. Now listen, he said, if the church is really anchored in Christ, every church will write a book of Acts behind it. So, where's it at? How many churches then are anchored in Christ if there is no book of Acts being written? Is anyone anchored? I know firsthand of several churches around the world, mostly in Africa, where the book of Acts is being written again. I've seen it in this church from time to time over the years. Many signs, many wonders have taken place. But from faithful Abraham, Brother Brown said, now the church that professes to be a Christian church will have to have the same spirit that was in Jesus Christ. For after the resurrection of Christ, Christ and his bride will come together and dovetail. The writings and the promises of God will be made fulfilled there. So it cannot come together unless the same spirit was in Christ is in you and me. And then if that same spirit is in there, he's talking about the rapture now. Coming together. Right? You know, we go to meet him in the air, but we can't go to meet him in the air unless we're the same. He said, and then if the same spirit is in there, it'll do the same works and live the same kind of a separated life and do the works that he did. The Bible said so. Again, from Awakening Jesus, Brother Branham said, you say, how can this be, Brother Branham? St. John, the 14th chapter, 12th verse, said that he'd prove it. See, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. You say, well, I wish you could prove and show me that he's just as he always was. If you could prove it to me, well, here's where he challenged the proof. He that believeth on me, the things that I do. In other words, you will be an amateur Messiah, a Messiahette. That's exactly. For if his life be in you, it ain't you, it's him. See? And you are ordained to carry his work on. He that believeth on me, I'll prove that I'm the Messiah. And he that believeth on me will do the same things. Now, he can't lie and be what you think he is, and what I know he is, and you believe he is too. In other words, he can't be God and lie to you. Because God can't lie. From it is thy, be not afraid, Brother Ramsey, the fruit is in the life, of course. And that's the same thing here. If you put the life of Christ and take the life of a sinner out, he has to die first, of course. And then when the life of Christ comes into him, then he will produce the life of Christ because that's what's living in him. See? If he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also because his life is in him. In other words, the works are just an outraying of the life. It's just a product of the life. It's the fruits of the life. For be not afraid, he said, and Jesus said, who can accuse me of unbelief? And if I don't do the works of my Father, then don't believe me. But if I do the works and yet you can't believe me, well, believe the works that I do. So you see, here he was doing the same thing that God did. Now, I want to ask you, brethren, if the life of Jesus Christ is in the church, then surely the church would do the same thing that he did because the same life is in it. If here stands a peach tree and I take all the life out of that peach tree and put an apple life in it, what kind of a fruit will it bear? Apples. That's the kind of life that's in it. Well, then if the life that was in Christ is in us, it'll bear the fruits that he bore. It's got to. Again, for man that can turn on the light and said, oh God, if we can only understand that we are the reflection of Jesus Christ, his word made manifest. You are the reflection of his word, see? Where is the Welsh revival held? What building is it in? He said, sir, it's in my heart. He was the Welsh revival. That's right. And today the church ought to be Jesus Christ in action. It ought to be upon the earth. Because I live, you live also. That's what Jesus said. Because I live, you live also, and my life will be in you. The works that I do, you'll also do. See, the church has got to get to that place, and he promised it would do it, and it will. It's got to come that way. Again, from God's provided place of worship, Jesus said in St. John 14:12, he that believeth in me, while he is in me. No wonder people say the days of miracles is past. No wonder they say these things. He that believeth in me, not believeth on me, believeth in me, the works that I do shall he do also. Why? It's his life. See, that explains the whole thing right there. It's his life. It's his dynamics in his mechanics that's in you that fires it off, makes it go and do the works that it promised to do. Or my life in him has quickened me by his spirit to make his word, which is the mechanics, work by his dynamics. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. I mean, there's just, look, there's probably 1,000 more of these somewhere. From God's gift always finds their place, Brother Aston. Notice now, we find that if he identified the works that he did, identified that he was deity, showed that he was, for he said, if I do not the works of my Father, then don't believe me. And could not the Christian say today, now listen, he's talking to us, could not the Christian say today, if I do not the works of my Savior, believe me not. See, as the Father sent me, so send I you. And if you did the works, creation works of the Father that sent him, then it's creation. The Christ, the Creator, that sends us does the works of Christ, the Creator. See, as the Father sent me, so send I you. And if I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. Then the Christian today has got to do the life that Christ did, or we have a right to say it's not so. The church is not doing the works of Christ. It's not a Christian church because it's not filled with the Holy Ghost. It's a church filled with creeds and dogma. In other words, it's just a lodge. Now let's put the statement to the test, because it's a very powerful thing that he just said here. If you do not see the life of Christ in me, living itself in me, and if you do not see the works of Christ following my ministry, then you have a right to disbelieve everything I tell you. Isn't that what he said? That's what he's saying here. Then in essence he's saying, if you do not see the life of Christ in me, and you see God, then if you do see the life of Christ in me, and you do see God backing up my ministry with signs and wonders, then you had better know that I'm telling you the truth. I'm thoroughly convinced if more people live the life of Christ, then we would see more of the works of Christ among us. But you've got to live like he lived first. And that is what Brother Bell taught right at the Brown Tabernacle in 1963 before Brother Brown preached, Humble Thyself. Brother Brown spoke on why we do not see the works of God so much in the church. And he said, God would never place his Holy Spirit in an unholy vessel. And Brother Brown even quoted him on that. And the title of Brother Brown's Bell's sermon was, Why We Do Not See Mark 16 in the Churches Today. Now, from what shall I do with this Jesus? Brother Brown said, as I said, if the life of Beethoven was in you, you'd live like Beethoven. If the life of Hitler was in you, you'd live like Hitler. And when the life of Christ is in you, you'll live like Christ. And the works of Christ you'll do. If Christ lived today, he'd do exactly what the Word said that he'd do. And if the Word said that, he is the same yesterday, today, and forever, why can't this blind ecclesiastical world see the time that they're living in? Again, from he that is in you, Brother Brown said, but he that is in you is Christ. And if Christ is in you, the works of Christ you'll do, if Christ lives in you. He said so, John 14:12. He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. If Christ lived in you, then Christ is the Word. Is that right? And the Word comes to his prophets, see? And if Christ lived in you, the works of Christ would be done through you. The life of Christ would be lived through you. The works that he did, the life that he lived, and everything, it would live in you. Just like if Shakespeare, Beethoven, or whoever it was lived in you. If his life, if you still living your own life, then your own works you'll do. See? Now I'm closing. That is the problem we face in the message today. We have many who say they're Christians, and many who even say that they're preachers. And some say they're pastors, while others call themselves teachers. And yet some even claim to be evangelists or prophets and even apostles. Yet show me men where the power of God is alive, not only in their life, but is also backing up their ministry with signs and wonders. Now, we all have heard Brother Branham's sermon on anointed ones at the end time. And so many fear anyone who comes along with an anointing because they got it in their head that all anointing is false except the one on God's vindicated prophet. And that's not what he said in anointed ones at the end time. Brother Branham said the anointing is genuine. Therefore, watch what they say according to the word to see if it's right or not. You see? He said what makes them false prophet or false teacher is what they teach. So the key is the teaching, whether it's true or whether it's false. Now, I'm not talking about everyone being vindicated as God vindicates his prophets. A prophet of God is vindicated when he comes with, thus saith the Lord. The signs and wonders are not vindication. They're not. They are signs and wonders. But when a man comes with, thus saith the Lord, and the thing comes to pass, that is the man that you fear, whether there are any signs or wonders at all or not. You don't have to fear any other man. John the Baptist didn't have signs and wonders, and yet John the Baptist, Jesus said, there was nobody like him. But we've been listening to quite a few quotes here where Brother Branham is telling us that if God does not back up the man, then we don't have to believe that man. So we're talking about the life of Christ being so alive in the individual that you can't help but see Christ in them, and God backing up that life in them with signs and wonders following. That is what we're talking about, and we're talking about the token. Is there evidence that the token is applied? Well, there has to be. If it's applied, it has to have evidence. If I have paint in a bucket and I say apply it to the wall, if you say, well, I apply it to the wall and I don't see it on the wall, you didn't apply it to the wall. I'm sorry. You understand? I mean, by their fruits you shall know them. These things are so simple. People have just made them so complex. It's so simple. If the Holy Spirit, which is the life that was in Christ, is in you, you're going to talk like him, act like him, think like him, do the works that he did. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we're thankful, Lord, for your word. It is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you are God, and you're not a man. You could lie. And you are God, and you change not. And so if we have the same life in us, that you placed that same life in us through the baptism of the Holy Ghost that you placed in your Son, Jesus, and if you live a certain way in him and you don't live a certain way in us, then it's not the same Spirit in us. But being that you cannot lie, you cannot alter, you cannot change the way that you are, you cannot change your nature. Therefore, if you truly are living in us, then we will see it, the very nature of the supernatural God living in natural beings, performing supernatural things and living a supernatural life. And so, Lord, we just commit all of this to thee in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to find out, and I'm going to bring it out, show you several quotes of Brother Branham, actually more than several. Brother Branham says, the church has got to come to the place, you know, that capstone ministry, so like Christ, that she will even be doing the things of Christ, he said, then it'll be ready for the rapture. So pray for it, believe for it, lay yourself open before God for it. Amen. Well, the Lord bless thee and keep thee, and may the Lord make his face shine upon thee.
The Lord bless thee and keep thee.